right, this is the Elizabeth School District Board of Directors meeting, Monday, February 28th, 2022, working session, and I'm calling this meeting to order at 6:01 p.m. Roll call, please.
Director Blackham?
Here.
Director Booth?
Here.
Director Frumfeller?
Here.
Director Karcher?
Here.
Director Olson?
Here.
All right, could you all stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That's beautiful. All right, we're going to start off with the educational showcase.
Wow,
Robin
fast.
From the Running Creek Elementary School is going to just tell us all kinds of wonderful things that are going on over
Indeed
there.
Indeed, I am. Well, thank you for having me for another time. I'm sorry I'm losing my voice today. I've been talking a lot. So if you can't hear me, just let me know. All right, so I just want to share a few things that Running Creek is doing this year, and actually has been for the last few years. The collaboration of the 8 Habits from Leader in Me with a profile of a graduate from Elizabeth Schools District. So I just made a collection of some pictures of things that we've done this school year that coincide with those things. So I'll talk a little bit about them. The first is that of being a leader. You can see a few things there that our school is doing. being a leader with Leader in Me is more on the synergize piece where we're better together. And so we fully believe in people or students having a vision and being able to work together toward a goal. They're supposed to be building trust and demonstrating service-oriented behavior. So. Are you ready for me to move on?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Are you managing?
I'm watching. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. All right. So what we probably spend the most time doing at the elementary level is being an empathetic and collaborative student or person in our society. So though that empathetic and collaborative piece falls under almost every single one of the habits with Leader in Me. But the first one I'd like to focus on is seek first to understand, then to be understood, which means to listen before you talk. And that's very difficult for elementary students. very difficult for all of us, really, to listen before we speak. So building that integrity, compassion, and that strong work ethic. You can see that we've had the Lego League going this year. We've had our fourth grade teachers who have had a blast just joining the kids in different things. STEM activities. This one has 3 slides. People got a little carried away. So you can see that we have first graders. Sorry, Douglas. You have first graders that are working together and being collaborative. And then the last slide. Our specials teachers collaborate together for 3 or 2 programs a year. We have a second grade program that is celebrating around the world, so they sing songs in different languages and dance different dances. And then also the fourth grade Colorado history program, where they talk about the beginning of Colorado to current state. So we've had both of those. We had just a full house with both of those. It's the first presentations or anything of the kind where parents have been invited in for the last 2 years. So it was really exciting to see how many people joined us.
So you're going to do the Colorado History one again?
Every year.
Every year? I have to wait a year and then I can go.
Ooh, how exciting. Yeah, every year they've done it. So it's a great program. So the next one is being adaptable and resilient, and this habit is more along the terms of think win-win, where everyone can win. So being able to adapt so that everyone can join in those activities, and then also to be resilient when things don't go your way, being able to pick it up and keep going. So that's another thing that we work on.
Where is these pictures on the... Do you have it on here? These with the rings and outside.
That is, I believe, at the pumpkin hatch. preschool and kinder went to the pumpkin patch together. So that was an interesting thing, too. We'd never put those two groups together, and they had a blast. Those kindergartners thinking they were big kids, helping the preschool.
Oh, that's cool.
It was really sweet. That's it really neat. Was sweet. So, okay, the next one is an effective communicator. Again, goes under all principles related to leader and me. So beginning with the end in mind, always having a plan when you're communicating and always being empathetic as you communicate with one another. So you can see here, we have our 100th day celebration, and they each had to present their 100th day celebration poster, whatever activity thing they brought in. And then we use a lot of turn and talk, or what's called oral rehearsal, when it comes to writing. So students practice their story using language first so that it's easier to get them on paper. So you'll see that if you ever come in during writing time, you'll see kids turn and talk a lot through the writing process. It's part of our new program that we adopted last year. The next is the independent learner, and this one's along the lines of being proactive or saying, I'm in charge. We use this a lot. Who's in charge of you? I am. So we use that quite a bit. When we're visiting about issues, we do that. So you can see a few of our students here really enjoying themselves. Our fourth grade has gone on, I believe, 10 field trips. So you'll see that all the way through the slide presentation here. Part of that is because fourth grade studies Colorado history, and we're in the midst of all of Colorado. So they go all the way down to the Springs and all the way north into Fort Collins area. So they've done the whole Front Range, traveling to see all these different places. And the kids absolutely love it. So Friday they go on another field trip. I don't remember. To the Capitol. So I think that's their last one, but I may be wrong.
I can't imagine.
I know, I'm sure they have another one.
The last 2 months of school?
That's right. Although, you know, the calendar fills up so much the last 2 months, it's just amazing. The next is being academically prepared, so putting first things first, so we work first and then we play, which is another hard one for elementary students to learn, that you have a job first and then you can enjoy yourself. So that's another thing we kind of hammer in a little bit. And this is about being academically prepared in all areas, literacy, numeracy, writing, which is part of literacy. So. And then our last one is being entrepreneurial. Did I say it right?
Mm-hmm.
There's just too many R's in there. So our school loves this. Fourth grade especially. We have one class in particular that works really hard at community projects. So they have been selling hot chocolate. I think that was in the good news, wasn't it, at some point? Selling hot chocolate. We actually had, I think, Channel 9 come out and do a little feel-good piece about our fourth grade class who is selling hot chocolate. The purpose of that, when they first started looking at community projects, they walked around our building to see what they could do at Running Creek to make it better. So the hot chocolate sales are for beautifying Running Creek. So they're going to be to buy bushes or plants or trees or something to make the front of Running Creek nicer. So they've been selling hot chocolate and bracelets and pencils, and they've raised, I think, close to, if not over, $1,000 just on these little 50 cent a dollar things that they,
awesome.
Yes, that they keep walking around doing. And then our third grade always does a unit on being self-employed or creating something from the beginning to selling. So that's called our third grade expo. And they invite third grade parents or other parents as well to come in and share their career with the students. And then that's the beginning of them figuring out what they would like to do in the expo. So that is actually this Thursday, and you are welcome to come see. It is, look at the calendar.
think it's 8-2.
Yeah, I think it is too. 9:30 to 2. Oh,
close.
9:30 to 2. So both, we have our third grade is our smallest grade level. So there's just very few of them under, I believe there might be 40. So anyway, they would love to see adults come in that are outside of our building to see what they're doing. So you are welcome to join us. And that is it. Any questions?
Makes me wish I was a third and fourth grader again.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It is fun. It's a lot more fun than when I was in third and fourth grade, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Very good. Thank you, Robin.
So are they still selling the hot chocolate and everything?
Yes, they are. And I think they're doing it through spring break.
Oh, very
And then our carpet is a little worse for the wear with our hot chocolate sales, but but we'll get cleaned up this summer.
It might cost more than that.
I know. I'm like, it'll be fine.
Get a spot bot.
What's that?
Get a spot bot.
That's right. That's right.
Get it quick.
All right. That's great stuff. Thank you
very
much.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. It's a great place to be. Feel free to come by anytime.
Okay. We will.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Enjoy the evening.
Next thing on the agenda, motion to approve our approval of the agenda. Today's agenda, the amended agenda.
So moved.
Second.
All right. Any discussion about that? No. Okay, roll call.
Dr. Blackham?
Aye.
Dr. Boone?
Aye.
Dr. Frumfeller?
Yes.
Dr. Karcher?
Aye.
Dr. Olson?
Aye.
All right. Motion to approve the minutes, approval of the minutes of the board meeting on February 14th, 2022.
So moved. Second.
All right. Any discussion? No. Roll call, please.
Dr. Blackham?
Aye.
Dr. Booth?
Yes.
Dr. Frumfeller?
Yes.
Dr. Karcher?
Aye.
Dr. Olson?
Aye.
All right. Now we're on to communications. We've got the superintendent report, 20 minutes.
You want me to throw up that 20 minutes?
No. You don't have to.
Okay, I won't then.
Okay.
So I was just writing an email to invite Patty Ann Maher. Patty Ann Fontenot. She has those two names from Connections for Families to see if she and Tammy Kruger, who's our representative on Connections for Families, to come and speak with the board about what they do. They're one of the community partners there. We, part of our contribution to their efforts is we give them space. We used to give them space at Frontier, but now we give them space at the high school. That's worked better because they can really connect with the staff there. They provide programs also to the middle schoolers. So I'm waiting to see if she's available. Now, Tammy is to talk with you then. I spoke with Lori Clark, our nurse, today, and she was in a particularly lighthearted and joyous state of mind. Neither she nor our nurse, part-time nurse at Elizabeth High School, Brooke Newton, received any phone calls, any emails, any communication about COVID for the entire week last week. Not just today.
Nice.
The entire week. I know it was a short week. But still, we find that after weekends was when we would typically get more communication. So nothing. And to her knowledge, nobody has COVID. Nobody's had COVID in the home. Nobody is like out because of COVID, because it's the only calls that they had or communications that they had the week prior were kind of follow-up from previous. You know, typically when somebody's sick or they've taken a test and they tested negative, that's typically when they reach out. So that was a little bit surprising to her that it kind of the intense you know, impact that we experience, but how quickly and completely, you know, it dropped and then and I think that I shared with you an email, but the federal requirement for wearing masks in buses has been formally removed. We stopped actively monitoring that and communicated that to all our parents a week or more ago anyway, so it's nice to see the federal government has caught up with us.
Better late than ever.
So, you know, but as you know, you can see in the media, just across the country, people are removing restrictions, and you know, the numbers are down pretty dramatically. So, I wanted to give you an update on progress with the new position that has been under consideration. It was a draft job description I shared with you at the last meeting, Director of Operations. After we shared that and kind of had some consensus with the board that that was a direction to continue to explore, we shared it with most of Cardinal leadership for their feedback. Their feedback surprised us a little bit, because they had a couple of suggestions for it that I would say we weren't necessarily expecting. And one was that to create a position underneath Ron maybe wasn't the best thing to do. That to move operations out from under the CFO was a better approach to allow the CFO to focus on finances. And then there were educational things, not just operational things, that have not been done, in part because of COVID, but in part just because of staffing. Things like curriculum alignment, curriculum enhancements, curriculum materials, supporting district-wide MTSS, multi-tiered system of support. That's for students that need additional support. Right now, we... and for a long time, we paid somebody an extra duty to work with all the state assessments, but assessments, there's professional development, things that the district has done in the past. And so what we want to do is to continue to explore that new position, not just as operations, but also with education and kind of the focus on schools. So both... You know, if you, I can use an example that's especially close to the heart of elementary parents and elementary staff. But you know, when the buildings are hot in August, it's not just a facilities issue; it's also an educational issue, and there's a lot of overlap. So, if this person supervised transportation and principals and the educational component, like discipline issues that show up on a bus, show up at school, have to be dealt with. They go back and forth. There's a lot of connection between them. So it would be kind of a schools-focused position. And I think there's consensus with the board on that, but if there is consensus to continue to explore that, then we will. Not all of Cardinal leadership, because they each gave individual feedback, so they're not aware of some of their colleagues' feedback, and so we'll continue to develop that and then put something in writing and bring it to the board at the next meeting and see what thoughts and reactions you have and continue to develop it. I think our idea now is that this ideally would be for next school year with a hiring cycle this spring, if it all gets approved, but we'll continue to develop it. So...
Will that give you enough time to get it?
I think so.
For next year?
I think so. What are you thinking in terms of constraints on time?
Oh, no, I don't know what the hiring, like how long it takes.
Once you get the decision on the job, what that job looks like, then you post it, then yeah. It's a matter of doing the interviews, so
right.
it could take a month or two, maybe.
It's the general pattern for school hiring is that positions begin opening up now almost, depending on the positions, but they really ramp up in the April and May timeframe. And for different groups, like for example, teachers, kind of March to May is when you see a lot of teachers moving. Principals is maybe a month earlier, superintendents, ideally a month earlier than that. So there's this kind of second semester window. You know, it's not unusual to see a principal move in the summer, but when it does, it's more disruptive. You know, we hire teachers after the school year has started, but it's really the goal is to get all of that done even before summer. So with the school-specific positions, there is a window. It's not like the corporate world where kind of any month in the year you have people coming and going. With a position like this, it's not quite so school-focused. There isn't kind of as much of a preferred window. But I would say generally, kind of in the transition of the school year is probably better than during the school year. Because, for example, you know, a principal to move in the middle of the school year is unusual. A teacher to move in the middle of the school year is unusual. But some district folk, it's not as unusual for that to happen. So to be closer to that cycle would be better. But there's not a specific kind of drop-dead time frame other than to be able to include it in the projected budget to do the hiring and onboarding so that the person would be ready to go at this, you know, before the start of the school year.
I would assume the sooner the better. That way you have plenty of lead
yes.
time.
Yeah. You're right. The sooner the better. But there isn't any kind of artificial or deadline or anything,
right?
But to not let it languish. That's
sure.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if anybody's timing me, but I think I'm still under 20 minutes.
You are. You're at 9 minutes.
So I will stop there, and if there's any questions.
What?
Do you want to bank your time for later?
No.
Yeah. No.
You don't
have a debt.
No.
I have a debt.
No, you don't.
That goes back years.
Yeah.
And
there's no banking.
Right. I owe you. You don't owe me.
Good job.
Yeah, I don't have any.
Yeah, and if you're listening, Richard Smith, or who else?
Lam listens.
That were late.
Right. Oh, that roll there. Carol?
She didn't roll.
She didn't, but she wanted to.
Yeah. So,
no,
hello to anybody that is listening that...
You finally did it?
Was, right.
Well, now it's 10 minutes.
Putting bets
right?
on whether I stick to the
well,
time.
Well, it was.
But it's still half.
That's true.
I think I have a partner, though, here that allocated me extra time just so I would look good. Right?
Oh, more,
yeah. Bam.
But even when it's 10 minutes, it's 20. No,
I didn't
Douglas,
say
you,
it.
That was awesome.
I didn't say it.
I think it's great news about COVID. And I think even, you know, for what it's worth, the government, the Colorado government, are saying it's pretty much an endemic now. It's not a pandemic anymore. And I just think that's great news. And we took the lead in all that by what you did. So good job.
So,
and
thank you
very much. It was good.
Yeah.
I think they could learn, the other districts and stuff could learn.
Absolutely.
What we did. So.
Right. And I don't know if you know, but we have a whole bunch of resources on our website. And if you've seen that.
Excellent
awesome.
Information.
Yep. Thank you, Douglas.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to the consent agenda. I would like a motion to approve 8.1 through 8.6.
7.
Or 8.7. 7 is the amended change of the termination of the consideration of resolution to declare property surplus and authorizing conveyance pursuant to contract to buy and sell real estate. And basically, you're approving me to sign this document to get out of that. So,
and if it needs to have legal review, it would include that.
Right.
Prior to his signature.
Right. So, motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any comment? No, we're not going to do any comments. That's a consent agenda. So, roll call, please.
Director Blackham?
Aye.
Director Booth?
Yes.
Director Frumpiller?
Yes.
Director Kircher?
Aye.
Director Olson?
Yes.
All right. Moving on to action items. Get a motion to approve 9.1, second reading of new policies, GBGL, staff victim leave. Motion?
I had a question.
Okay.
So take the motion.
Let's do the motion and then discuss. Then we'll
discuss.
Unless you had an issue with the motion itself.
Okay.
So moved.
All right. Any discussion?
Blackham's
turn. The second was?
He seconded.
Oh, yeah.
A second.
Yeah. I was just, when I was reading all of that, did it have a time limit on it? It was a little confusing when reading.
Let me back up and see if I can answer, and if not, I will reach out to
you. I just didn't know if there was like a maybe a maximum that they could use.
Okay, so may request it will be granted up to 3 working days of leave during any 12-month period without pay if all other accrued paid leave has been exhausted for any of the following purposes.
Okay.
And then it goes into
it. Something else, but I should have wrote it down.
That's on the second page of the...
Okay. The top of the second page.
Yeah.
That might answer it. There was... A part that was a little confusing in there, but it might have been before that, but that's fine. I just didn't know if there was... So they have to use all their sick time up first? Is that it?
Just make sure that's right.
Is that what that said?
I think you might be referencing GBGG, maybe?
You know what? I was just wondering that. That may be what I'm...
I think that's because the GBGL is staff victim leave.
Right.
Yeah. Never mind, I think
And I don't
right.
think it has the... I think I know which one you're referencing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so never mind on that.
Do you want to see a hard copy?
Yeah.
How come there wasn't an original date on this? Is it? So, I'm not entirely sure how this came to be, but the wrong policy... I think this is the one that the wrong policy number was on the policy. So it's technically considered a new policy for us because we changed the policy number. Does that make...
So there is no previous policy.
But with all the strike-throughs...
It's what the policy should have been. We should have had it in place.
So let me try to
yes, please.
Describe it, but if I got it wrong...
Yeah, I'll interject. Go ahead.
So the strike-throughs are CASB strike-throughs.
Correct.
So you have the CASB sample before, and then the CASB revisions, the strike-throughs. And that's what you've got in front of you. And because the policy numbers were wrong, we didn't have this policy.
Oh.
So that's why there's no previous date. It's,
yep,
and what we don't know is what happened before that we had the wrong policy number, therefore we didn't have this policy in place. Does that make sense? I mean, we don't know how that happened, but this right.
So Heather,
yeah, and you're right. It is the staff paid leave, discretionary
okay.
leave. I was asking about.
Okay,
you're right.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
That's an excellent
so
one. Yep.
We do have a limit in the victim leave.
Yep, and I did see that.
Okay, good. Okay, cool.
Yep.
All right. So did we answer
mm-hmm.
your question? All right, good.
Did you want
any other?
Sorry.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So this is then going to go to a third reading in front of the board.
Would it?
No.
Well, you have an option of doing second reading and final, but then again, you already got your motion, so we'll just go to a third reading at the next meeting.
Okay, and that would be third and final.
Third and final, yes.
Right. Okay, all right. Okay, all right. So, roll call.
Director Blackham.
Aye.
Director Booth.
Aye.
Director Frumfeller.
Yes.
Director Kreutzer.
Aye.
Director Olson.
Yes.
All right. 9.2. I'd like a motion to approve second reading of revised policies, BID/BIE, school board member compensation, expenses, insurance, and liability, and GBGG, staff paid leave.
So moved.
Second.
All right, any discussion?
That's where I had the question on this policy was... the discretionary paid leave. It didn't.
So you're on GBGG?
Yes. Okay. I think that's what that's called. Didn't it?
Staff when paid leave?
Yeah. Okay. When I was specifically the discretionary paid leave, didn't seem to, and I might have missed it. Never mind. I see it right here. Leave to a maximum of 75 days and they're accrued 6 weeks. So it just was a little confusing about. So it has contract NOA less than 170 days. Days are prorated. So basically, if you've been on the job 170 to 195 days, you have 10 discretionary days available. Is that, am I reading that correct?
Dallas, I would defer to you.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'm trying to.
This is what she's referring to. So if you have 170 to 195 days, 10 discretionary days.
And your question is?
So that's the days that they've accrued based off of how many days they've worked. Is that correct? Am I reading that right?
Well, I don't. No, what? Let me try to explain it, and then see if that helps. If it doesn't, try again. So, depending on the length of the contract or NOA, and a notice of assignment.
Okay.
So, a notice of assignment is an at-will position, and they don't have a contract, and that's a different employment relationship than contract.
Oh, okay.
Okay, a contract is a much more serious legal document.
Okay.
And the best example of who has contracts are teachers.
Right.
And there's like this much, like in the law book, on teacher contracts. We still, with notices of assignments, have to follow all state and federal laws regarding employment law.
Right.
So it's not like there aren't any, but they're at-will positions. Those are typically classified staff, so it could be bus drivers, kitchen staff, paraprofessionals, office staff. So, and some of the staff have either a contract or a targeted work schedule that is 170 to 195 days. Another group have longer set of days. So depending on the number of days per year that they work, they get slightly more or have slightly fewer discretionary days.
Okay.
For us, discretionary days are what used to be sick days and personal days. And the district made a choice a number of years ago to give employees more discretion over those days.
Okay, because my question, because I was... You know, I wasn't sure how that aligned with sick days, but if that just kind of takes over,
it's
the
sick days
and personal days.
And personal days?
Oh, okay. That answers. Yeah.
We wanted to get away from the distinction between the two because if you had three personal days and you needed a fourth, then you were basically had this challenge of, okay, I'm not going to take it, but I need it, or I'm going to not be fully honest about it. We didn't want to encourage people to lie. If they needed the time, take it.
Right.
And by providing more flexibility to employees, it really is a benefit to them.
I like that better.
So that's what it means, sure, discussion.
It means we do that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the thing about the number of days per year, you know, if they work the full year, whatever their number of days is, then they get those many discretionary days.
Right.
If they work partial of the year, then it would be proportionally reduced.
Right.
But if they work the full year, then that's what they would be entitled
that
to.
That was very helpful, yeah.
Let me just take a moment, because I have 10 minutes that I have unreserved.
Oh, no, no.
No, that was under a
different... I heard you guys offer. It's to say that there's a kind of a two-step process for the discretionary days. And one is, if somebody just wants to take time off, we ask them to let their supervisor know with as much advance notice as possible. Mm-hmm. And then, secondly, if it falls in a time where they typically wouldn't, you know, they would be restricted from being compensated for that time, they can make a request to HR for it to be paid. If it's a significant family event over which they don't have control over the date. And there's a lot of those, and we grant all of those. And that's
right.
Specifically written into that policy. But and so it's a two-step process. And it's my sense that staff really do appreciate the flexibility that the district provides them, the supervisors. And then on top of that, we have been not counting any COVID leave time against this time since the beginning of the pandemic. And I think we're not the only district that's doing that, but we're unique. Most districts aren't doing that. Once they no longer were required to do it, they stopped doing it.
Right.
We have been doing it because we really wanted to encourage people to stay home when they were sick. And if they had to make a trade-off of using their discretionary days, we didn't want to encourage them to come to school if they were sick. We didn't want to create any additional hardship. And so we have been doing that. And we'll continue to do that through the end of the year, COVID-related absences.
Right.
And we've been generous in terms of COVID-related absences, meaning to say if the employee has anything similar to the symptoms and so they don't report to work, then they would not be docked
right.
here for that. Even if they never ended up getting COVID, because we want them to presume that it could be and therefore stay home rather than, well, I'm going to tough it out. And it's cost a lot, but that's part of what we're allocating towards the federal COVID money, is putting it towards that.
That's great.
And we think that helped everything. It helped us. It helped our employees. It helped us stay in person.
Absolutely.
Stay healthy.
Our transmission levels low in school. All of that.
Sure. Right. All that stuff. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Any further discussion? Okay, roll call, please.
Director Blackham.
Aye.
Director Boo.
Yes.
Director Frumfeller.
Yes.
Director Kircher.
Aye.
Director Olson.
Aye.
All right. We have no discussion items that we planned on, and the next meeting is March 14th.
We have a showcase.
On March 14th?
Oh, I can't see the one that we write in.
Oh, okay. So I can point out. And as I mentioned before, that's hopefully we'd have, if Connections for Families can't come, also want to invite Centennial Mental Health, but right now we're looking at April to invite them. But we might, schedules are an issue.
What about
the
middle school?
I was just going to say, I think Brett Michael reserved the 14th.
I haven't seen them yet.
Yes. Oh, no. It's, I have the high school.
Oh, McClellan.
Okay.
So the high school will do their showcase.
Okay. And then maybe April, middle school.
I know, because Brett had to reschedule back from a couple weeks ago. I think he rescheduled to April.
Oh, okay.
Which Brett?
Sorry, Brett Michael. Yeah. I keep forgetting that we have two now.
Okay. Good. All right, and no executive session, so I am adjourning this meeting at 6:41 p.m.